Hi everyone, welcome to the virtual classroom. I'm your host, Kimberly Ring, and I am so glad that you're here. In the virtual classroom, I typically sit down with other virtual teachers and talk to them about their virtual classroom. They share their insight, their stories, their advice, whatever they want to share, and we learn from them and their experience and wisdom, and I've grown so much as an educator because of them. However, today's kind of a special treat, and we're talking to an administrator. She is brand new to it, just started in November, but she had some amazing advice both from an administrator point of view, but also as a teacher perspective as well, on how to help new teachers, which is perfect right now, right? Because we have so many new virtual teachers, maybe not here full time, but here for a short time, and they need our support. They need our help. So I was so excited to have Erin on and her share her experience and wisdom with us. So again, whether you're here for a short time or brand new here, regardless of your circumstance, Erin has some great advice from teacher tips, from tools to use, to how to build relationships, because virtual teaching is teaching and something is better than nothing. So, without further ado, here's Erin.
Well, I am an assistant principal now at Texas Online Preparatory School. I've been with K-12 for 6 years. I've taught at two different schools, middle school reading. So I've taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade reading classes over the last 5.5 years. I'm in the middle of my 6th year, and then in November I interviewed and accepted the position and moved into our assistant principal role on our middle school campus. So before that I was a special ed teacher in brick and mortar for 6 years. So this is my 12th year in education.
That's awesome. And so your assistant principal in Texas, and they recently just shut down, right? The whole state did for this virus.
It's been interesting because districts are all doing different things. There are some districts who've said they've shut down indefinitely. There are some districts who've said we're only closing down for an extra week. And then, you know, the district that I personally live in, my school or my kids' school was shut down for just one day. And then they came back in the middle of that morning and said, okay, we're going to actually close down for a whole other week and a half. So your kids will go back to school, not tomorrow, but next week on Wednesday. So it's all just been very up in the air. I guess would be the way to describe it.
And that's kind of how it feels right now for us. Oklahoma we got our state of emergency yesterday. Our State Department came on TV and all the airways and was like, we're shutting down instruction until April 6th. And so at the virtual school, we're like, do we need to shut down? But I guess we do. So, and so my question for you is, because there's other states that are not like mine. They're not shutting down indefinitely. They are just closing schools. So what's your advice? Because a lot of our teachers are freaking out because their kids are at home. And I know you have your two boys at home. What would your advice be for them?
Oh, my advice for teachers working, you know, with their kids at home would be just to keep it simple. What I've decided I'm going to do is we're going to eat breakfast, and then I set a timer for 20 minutes and they do reading. And then they can spend the rest of the morning doing whatever they want to do, playing outside if the weather is nice, playing in the playroom. They love to build with Legos. And then at lunchtime, we are going to eat lunch and then do another 20 minutes of math or reading. That's kind of my focus. We're not on spring break anymore, so we're still going to do some school, but I'm not going to try to do the whole day because I'm working as well, and I just can't. So just to keep it simple, to give them some kind of easy routine, And you know, there's lots of great games on the iPad. My youngest was just playing Teach Your Monster to Read, which is free. And so that's what he asked to play. And he complained up and down. He didn't want to do it. As soon as he got started, I hit the 20 minutes and he went more like 45. So once he got started, he didn't want to stop. So, you know, he's spent a good deal of time reading this morning, and now he's going to get to just hopefully go outside. It's a little cloudy, but we're hopefully going to get some scooters or something to have some outside active time close to our house where I know it's safe. So just keep it simple. Don't try to do something over the top. It takes weeks, months even, for a teacher to set a schedule and a routine in their classroom and for everybody to get used to it. And you know, this is not that kind of situation. This is hopefully temporary. So keep it easy on you, easy on your kids to get used to. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna stop and do a little bit of school and then you can keep playing.
And what about, like, if those teachers who are still having to teach? I know I don't have to, and I'm a little excited about that, but because I do have my little five-year-old at home, I think I bought myself an hour. But if I still had to teach, if I still had to this expectation to teach my my normal 8 classes a day, how should I feel? What should I do if he comes running in and be like, "Mom, my iPad's not working"? Like, how should I handle that? And what should my expectation be on myself? Should I feel too bad about that? What would your advice be for those teachers?
My advice would be just give yourself grace in that, and our families too. I think a lot of our families understand that just like their lives have been disrupted, so have ours. And so just being upfront with your students and saying, "Hey, I've got these kids home with me now. You've got extra people in your house. I've got extra people in my house. And so this may happen. And if it happens, we'll just keep moving on. It's not anything to feel badly about in a time like this when everything is so just out of the norm. And so just kind of creating that new normal, you know, for kids, we can put a movie on, we can put a game on the iPad. You know, there's lots of free games. Khan Academy has great games for kids. So, you know, downloading something new that maybe they haven't played before that would keep their attention a little bit better, a movie on the TV, something that will hold their attention so that maybe you can get through that class. But also knowing that, you know, kids poke their head in the door and ask to go outside and play on the trampoline while you're trying to talk to somebody in class. You know, things like that are going to happen. So just have that grace, ask for that grace from your students, and give that grace to your students as well when they are interrupted by the extra people that are in their class. I think it really helps to develop that empathy, you know, to be able to connect and give that to our students as well.
That was my plan. If we didn't just shut down as a state, if I still had to teach, my plan was like, just bring your brother and sister in. I'm happy to teach them too. Like that's what I was gonna be like. But also, that's kind of what I tell my mentees. I am kind of like, you know what? These kids are at home. Like, that's just part of our culture. Like, they're obviously at home with their kids. I'm always hearing babies crying in the background and little brothers and sisters talking in the background too. So, like, they're not gonna mind if my son's home. In fact, whenever he is home and from being like sick or something, those are their favorite days. Like, he always comes up to the mic and be like, "Hi, everybody," or sits on my lap because he's sick and needs mama cuddles, but I have to. Those are their favorite days. So I'm glad that I wanted to hear from you because you're an assistant principal. You know, I'm just a teacher. I mean, I'm not just a teacher, but you have a little more authority than me. So I'm happy to hear that about that. Great.
The, the kids do love it. The students do love it. And, you know, it's often hard to connect with them through a computer screen. And that's just one of those things that really makes us more of a person. And obviously, we don't want that happening every single day in every single class. But, you know, periodically, and especially now, that's not anything that I'm going to get upset about with my teachers. It's going to happen. You know, my kids are going to interrupt my meetings with my teachers. It's going to happen right now. So we just all need to just kind of have that understanding and give that grace to each other that, you know, this isn't an unusual time, and unusual things are going to happen. We just have to roll with it.
So thinking about this, because the virus isn't going to be forever, but this is a great conversation just for new teachers who are coming into our world and they have kids at home. Like one of my teachers, my co-teachers has a 3-year-old son, and he's with her all day long. And they've somehow built in an expectation somehow, even though he's 3. Are there any tips or tricks that you could give for teachers? I've heard of like maybe a light, like they push a light if they need to talk to you, or you push like the light and it lights up when you're teaching. What are some of those? Because I never had to deal with that. those are great strategies. I just don't know them all. So what advice would you have for those teachers who do have kids with them all day, every day, just because of their age?
Yeah, I think the light idea is really good. You know, if the light is on outside my door, then I'm teaching and you can't come in. I've seen teachers do like some kind of a sign that they'll hang on the door that, you know, it could be something as simple as a stop sign that you hang on the door so that your littles can see that stop sign and know not to come in because you're in the middle of class. I was lucky enough that, you know, I was able to put my boys in Mother's Day Out, so they would go to Mother's Day Out 2 days a week. Because when I started with K-12, I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So they went to Mother's Day Out 2 days a week. And then my husband was actually able to work his schedule where he was home in the mornings, 2 days a week. So I was lucky enough that I had some additional help, but not all of our teachers do. A light, a stop sign, just some kind of visual symbol that your kids can recognize. Or it could be as simple as, I'm going to close the door when I'm teaching. And when the door is closed, you know not to come in. If the door is open, you can come in and out. That kind of thing. I would often go in my bedroom and close the door if I just absolutely needed to do something, be on camera or, you know, on mic with my kids home. And so I would just I'd work out in the house, but then if I needed to, I would go in my room and close the door. So that could be something too, moving to a different space. When I move to this space, you know that you can't come and talk to me.
Yeah, that was kind of my, those are all, I didn't have all of those. I like the stop sign. I like moving to a specific space, but my advice was just treat your kid like you would your students, and you're going to practice those routines and expectations. So just this weekend, practice them when you put your headphones on, or that's a great idea for my little store thing, is make an actual sign for teachers who want something, but make something that says classes in session, or and they put it on there. I love that. So that's great. So thank you for those ideas. And then also, you have been sharing tons and tons of resources that are great for any teacher. What would be your top ones that you would share? And this is recording, so if you want to app share, you definitely can. Obviously, that part won't be on the podcast, but I could put it on YouTube or somewhere. But I'm just going to throw that to you, whether you want to or not. But okay. What would your ideas be for any virtual teacher to help reach our kids? And so it'd be great right now for any new teacher that's being forced to be in our world, but also just any teacher that comes into our world in the future.
Yeah, well, I almost feel like I overshared Like, I'm the opposite of the people that are hoarding all the toilet paper, and I just threw everything I could think of out there. My advice for teachers right now having to move is just keep it simple. That's just kind of my advice overall. Keep it as simple as possible. But some of my favorites, like one of my very favorites is Padlet. If none of our teachers have seen Padlet, and let me see, it's taking a while to come up. But I started using Padlet just as a way to share resources with my students, because we had an expectation when I first started teaching that at the end of class, you would share resources about that topic with your kids. And so I just made some boards. Instead of sharing out five separate links, I threw them all onto one Padlet board. And I would send that one link to my students. I'm trying to see this. So you can add videos, you can add pictures, you can add text. And so this is just a resource board here that I would share with my students. I've got a vocabulary video, inferencing with comics, drawing conclusions, questions, star vocabulary. And then as I got more comfortable with Padlet, I started realizing all the things that I could do with it in a live classroom. And so we have lessons in ELA where we're talking about research papers and talking about websites that you're looking at for research papers, because our students are going to do a lot of their research on the computer. So I went and found some fake websites and put them in a Padlet, and their assignment during our live class session was to pick one and then tell me if it was real or not. And so, you know, dihydrogen monoxide is not a real thing, but there's this whole website on it. And so they
have. Oh my gosh, I love this, because fourth grade has my world. I mean, in Oklahoma, we have a whole like, is the source reliable? That's not even like connected with writing. It's just, I mean, it is obviously, but it's not like it's a reading, not in the writing section. So this is awesome for that. So, and I've always used it for live sessions. I've never thought about putting it in just like as a database of mm-hmm. all this. So this is really awesome, because this is something that could be used not only right now, like a teacher could just make a Padlet and put all the resources she's finding for free, like ABC mouse and all those things mm-hmm. out there. They could just put that in there and then send this one link. And that would be so helpful to all these families, but also super helpful for us. And then now too, I could have been doing this all year. I could have been.
Yeah. This would be a great one for a teacher just to, you know, send resources to their students all in one spot. Some of these have some student names on them, but I had some poetry activities, the metaphor translator for the poem It Sifts from Lead and Sieves. And so I put the metaphors on the Padlet, and then the students go in because they can comment. And the students would go in and add comments of, you know, what they thought the metaphor meant. And then of course I made a virtual library. So this would be something else that a teacher could do right now for their students. And this is rather large, so it may take a while to load, but I just went through and added all links to all kinds of books that were already out there on the internet. These were books that at one time they were choice. Yeah, there's a traffic jam, it's over capacity.
That's incredible.
I know. Everything's crashing. Here it comes.
Okay.
At one time we had make a choice units in our reading classes, and those books were not sent to the students. They had to go to the library to get them, or they had to buy them from a used bookstore. And I just kind of got tired of that excuse.
I did too. That made me so mad. I'm so glad that we're not doing that anymore. Yes. At least in fourth and fifth grade. I think third grade still does, but they're getting a new curriculum next year. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
And we don't do that anymore.
They've taken it out of the middle school as well. But I just got so tired of, oh, Mrs. Cockburn, I couldn't do my assignment because I didn't have the book. So I took away the excuse and I gave them the links to the books. And so you can find copies of books out there. They're just PDFs that kids can pull up on their computer. So you could send your students an online library. I also have a spot for teacher recommendations. I have a spot for audiobook libraries, or just different online libraries that I found. So just something that I sent to my students. So that could be something, because I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with this virus. They may close down our libraries, and the only way we can get access to books may be through the internet and through ebooks. And so giving your students those options for if and when, hopefully not, but if and when they would need them. Because we want to keep books in the hands of our kids. So important.
Right. In elementary, we have this thing called Big Universe. I don't know.
Yes.
But it's like a virtual library. But yeah, you're right. Like my library shut down in my town. And so we thankfully have a library card and we can access their database online when getting books that way. But you're absolutely right. And I love that you're like me and you're just like, you know what? I'm done with this excuse. I would tell them like months in advance. They'd be like, we're reading this book in April. So make sure you have this book in April. And I still have kids be like, I didn't know. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've been talking about it since January. How do you not know? But so I love that you're just like, you know what? No excuses. I'm going to find a way to make that happen. So that'd be great for anybody who's like, I think third grade, but third grade I think is going to have a different curriculum, but I don't know if the younger grades do. So I'm definitely going to share that with our younger teachers and maybe see if they can go ahead and find their books via like you. So awesome. All right. So I see now you have Go Formative. I love Go Formative.
Yeah.
You tell me about Go Formative.
I love Go Formative as well. I love that you can also embed reading passages. You can embed videos. This was an assignment that I made just to try to come up with an idea of doing reteach with our students who are struggling with topics, to give them a reteach that they could just kind of do independently on their own. And so this is something that teachers could use right now. Find a video that you want to share or make your own. Make your own video, post it to YouTube, and share that link into the Go Formative. So they can watch that video from you. It would be almost like a flipped classroom. You know, they will watch the video. They can answer a few questions. It will grade the questions for you. You can add multiple choice. You can add short answer. You can add long essays. What I love about Go Formative is that if you're wanting your students to write for you and you want to see what they're writing, you can actually watch them type in live time. So this would be something great for teachers that, especially writing teachers that are moving online, you could still watch your students write in front of you, just like you would in your regular classroom. So that's another great and easy and free resource.
I also have been recommending this for math because you can,
yes.
I think there's a show your work option on here as well. And so I told them you could take a little snippet of whatever worksheet you want them to use and then put that as the background and watch them work out the problems on there. So, but yeah, I love Go Formative, but I've never thought about using it as like a reteach. So I've been thinking of it like as just like a lesson that they could work through kind of right now, but I could still use this as something like an additional practice, like I could make homework, if you will, for them. So I don't know why that didn't just click until just now. I needed you to say it, because I was still saying it. I was still saying like, you could do this, you can, but I never thought that I could use this in that respect. So that's awesome. All right, tell me more.
Oh, I've pulled up my Instagram to see what exactly did I share, because I shared so much I can't remember. But Wakelet is a new one This one's newer, and I haven't really done a lot with it except just kind of read their emails. They do some different webinars where they show you how to use it and what you can do with it. But they actually have right now, they've put out some distance learning resources that you can use. But this is just, you can create a collection, you can create a board, you can embed videos, website links, you can embed even from Twitter if there's a conversation you want to start with your students. That would be more for middle and high school really than elementary teachers. But this is another one where you can kind of create a lesson for your students to go through in this Wakelet board, this collection. You can create tutorials for your students. There's just some really great stuff on Wakelet. I haven't personally used it with my students because I learned about it this year. I mean, it's really new. And I only taught for a couple of months at the beginning of the year. But this is another really great one, also free. And they've said in their webinars they plan to keep it free. They don't plan to put any kind of payment option on it ever. That would be great for teachers planning kind of that online, options for this time.
I like the way that it looks. I like the way that it looks different than Padlet. It looks something like Padlet, but it also looks like something almost like an online resource, if you will. So I'm trying, like a newspaper in that sense, just kind of, it almost looks like GoFormative and Padlet putting it together.
Yes.
So I guess that's the best.
Yes.
So, I think my kids would like to look at this although I love Padlet. It's just there's some things that are kind of confusing, like there's little plus signs everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. My kids were always tempted to push the plus sign. I'm like, don't push the plus sign. Don't push it.
The biggest difference is that they can interact on Padlet where they can't interact on Wakelet.
Okay. That's good.
But this is just a tutorial on how to create tutorials using Wakelet. It's got a really nice streamlined look to it. It just looks, and the webinars, I mean, you just click and add. It's very simple to add to it, and then it just looks very nice once it's put together. This would be another one teachers could use to send resources to their families, and it would be, in a very nice presentation.
Yeah, it's clean. I guess is another word I could have used. Mm-hmm. It's just clean looking. It would just be kind of more direct for, they can't mess it up. I love that. So this is awesome. I could see myself putting like notes in here. I could see myself using this as a bunch of different kind of resources, whether it be like this is where you can find some books, or this is some resources and videos for multiplication, division. There's lots of things I could see myself using this for. So
that's parent newsletters.
Awesome. Oh yeah, parent newsletters. That would be good because I'm hopeful though that my school is planning on getting what's that fun one? That's newsletter. It's like S'more, I think.
Oh yes.
I'm hopeful that we'll have access. But this feels like that. So
yes,
this
feels really like does.
That. Yeah. So this would be a great if your school wants to do a newsletter, but then they have S'more. That's a great idea. So awesome. All right. Any other resources that you think new teachers, regardless of whether this virus is in the future when people are listening to it, but just in general, new teachers to our world, resources that they should just absolutely try once they get here?
Oh, Flipgrid. Flipgrid, amazing. It is such a great way.
I need some inspiration for Flipgrid. I've talked about it. I've used it with my kids. Mm-hmm. I tell them to, I've only used it like one way though. It was for math and I wanted them to show me some multiplication facts. They either had to like sing the song that I showed them or make some sort of other project that they didn't want to sing, like make mm-hmm. different arrays. But what are some other ways that I'm not thinking about that we could be using Flipgrid?
So in my reading class, I would use Flipgrid almost as a warm-up. I'd have a question for the students and then they would go into the Flipgrid and answer the question, and they could see how they could hear their classmates and see their faces and how they responded. And it was crazy questions. What's your favorite movie? What did you do over the weekend? Would you want to be a hero or a villain? Just fun ways to build that community with our students. We've also used it for minute book reports, and the students would read a book and then they would go to the Flipgrid for the month and they would do just a really short 1 minute book report on what they read to share about it with their classmates. And then we've even done drawings from those. And so they would, we would put everybody's name in a hat that participated, draw a name, and they would get some kind of prize in the mail for participating and sharing books with each other. Our PE teacher uses it whenever they're talking about, different exercises. She'll have a Flipgrid that the students can go on and they can video themselves doing particular stretches or doing particular exercises so that she can see that they're participating in their PE class. There's just so many fun ways to use Flipgrid. It's free for teachers. It's a really great social learning platform to put those topics out there for your kids and get some responses in a new and different way. They can share their stories, they can share their work, they can send pictures of art they're doing for art class through Flipgrid. Teachers can actually make books out of their Flipgrid boards at the end of the year, like a portfolio for their students. So it's just, there's lots of really neat that you can do. Great discussion.
I love that it's easy to use. Like you can make it as hard to get into as you want, like where they need to use like a username and password, or as easy as you want to get into as they want, where they just got to click on the link. I love that capability in case for the FERPA and stuff like that. So just depending on what I want my kids to do. I normally put like at least a little password and I give them the password out. So I don't think anyone weird or sick will find just that that random link, but you just never know. So I just always make some stupid password that they just got to put in. And I give it out during class, but I've never thought about using it for like a book report. And so I really love that idea. And I could definitely start implementing that now because I do want my kids to be talking about books they read. I want to know what books they read. And I feel like I'm talking about reading so much and I do promote like, hey, you should be reading for fun, but I'm not checking in on that. So that would be really great. I could also use it for their oral reading fluency as well, especially during this time. I mean, I'm not because I can't, like my state said, you can't teach right now. So I'll honor that. But if I was a teacher that still was expected to do distant learning, that's definitely something I would have them do. Be like, read a book for a minute, record yourself. I want to hear you read. And that's great. And they could also watch their own video back. Mm-hmm. And so watch and see what was I struggling with. Did I have good oral reading fluency? I can make a whole rubric to go with it. So my brain is just spinning right now. I love this idea. So thank you for just letting me spill that out. But I love this, and I love just also the non-academic side that you mentioned, and allow our kids to make those social connections, because you're right, in our world that's hard to happen. It's hard to facilitate that, but this would definitely make that easier for us, and to build those connections with our kids, not only with just us, but with each other. So I keep saying I'm looking forward to new row next year where they can actually see each other more, but I could have been doing that now with Flipgrid. So sorry, what were you about to say?
Oh, I was just gonna say, the kids love too that there's an app for it, and so they can use their phones. And especially right now when there's lots of extra people possibly at home trying to share devices, trying to share, internet, they could do something through Flipgrid on a phone and while someone else is, on the computer working. So just kind of something to make it a little easier on our kids and families, not having to do every single thing on a desktop or a laptop, giving them options of different devices that they could use while they're having to work, away from their normal environment.
Absolutely. And I also love that there's fun filters with it as well. Yes. Our kids love that. I know I love that. I use Manicam for my live sessions, and they love when I put a filter on my face, and so they're like, we want Steve from Minecraft. And they're like, all right, if you answer this question right, I'll put Steve on my face. So, and they just think that's the coolest thing. So this would definitely give them that. They wish that they could do that. They wish that they could, and that's something I'm going to probably promote next year, since with Neuro, they're all going to be on cameras. We do like a filter Friday and teach them how to mm-hmm. do that. So I love this. All right. So now I guess my next question is just, you're an administrator. Our theme for this episode seems just to be new teachers in general. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about? We talked about kids being in the home. We've talked about resources to use. And now I guess thinking back of whenever I started, I felt like I was being put in front of sit here in front of this fire hose and let it just spray you down. So
yes.
what advice do you have for those teachers who are just, because we all do, I've talked to new teachers who have never taught anywhere. This is their first year here, and they were not in a traditional school period, and they felt the same way. What advice would you be for them in handling that overwhelmness? And then also, just what should they be focusing on the most when they first start here?
So I think my biggest piece of advice for new teachers to the virtual world is give yourself grace, because whether you are a first-year teacher or whether you are, a 10-year veteran, when you move to the virtual world, you become a first-year teacher again. Because it's a completely different way of planning, of connecting, of teaching. It's everything is brand new. So give yourself grace, and keep things really simple. When I first started teaching, in Blackboard, we have the option to give the kids microphone, and you can have, microphone open to your whole class, and you can have the chat open to your whole class, and you can have the whiteboard tools open to your whole class. And when I first started, I kept everything very small, very controlled. I kept control of everything. For those first weeks and even months while I was learning and getting used to that. As I got used to it, I was able to kind of release that control in the classroom and give more to the students, because I knew that I could quickly take it back if I needed to. So keep things small, keep things simple, keep that control, for yourself until you feel free to release more of it. Don't feel like you have to start 100% with everything on the first day. Find that one thing, and for us it's Blackboard and Coursera teachers. I'm so jealous that I don't get to teach in Neuro next year. So jealous. But our teachers moving to that new teaching platform is going to feel like first year teaching again, having to learn how that works and how do we send kids to breakout rooms and how do we, you know, give them these different microphone privileges or this and that. So, you know, find that one thing that you're going to focus on and really learn that one thing and then add something new to it. Don't try to overwhelm yourself because it can feel very overwhelming. That's a great analogy that you have of, you know, sitting in front of a fire hose. There's so much coming at you. The other thing is schedule out your day, like just put it all on your calendar, color code your calendar. During this time, I'm going to do this specific activity. I'm going to do this specific training. During this time, I'm going to reach out and email my students. During this time, I'm going to work in my grade book. You know, these are the times I'm in my classes, and put everything, even your personal stuff. If you have to go to pick up your kids from school, put it on your calendar so that you know that time is taken. You can't put anything else there. You can't plan to be doing grading or phone calls or lesson planning because you've got this activity. My kids, even now, school pickup is on my calendar. Kids' dentist appointment goes on my work calendar. You know, any appointments that I have at doctors goes on my calendar so that I know that time is taken. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, coming into our environment, you're kind of, when you're working brick and mortar, you have a set schedule. I have these kids from this time to this time. I have PE at this time. I have lunch at this time. And in our environment, you're making your own schedule. And so really make that schedule, really build that for yourself. What time are you going to be grading? What time are you going to be reaching out to families? And put that on your calendar and build it for yourself. And that will help tremendously in getting all the things done. Also just kind of knowing what's the big rock this week, you know, it's the last week of the 6 weeks. I have to get my grading done. So I'm not going to spend as much time maybe reaching out and calling students because I'm going to devote my time to my grade book and I have got to get my grade book 100% finished. You know, so just knowing that there's ebbs and flows to things and being okay with changing up that schedule, just depending on what's the most important thing for me to get done this week. That's the thing I need to focus on. And you know, if something else doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's okay. So that's kind of my big ones.
And I love that. I love that you said, I really resonated with the schedule because that's something that I do, but it's not something that anyone taught me to do. I just did it because that's just kind of who I am. But I could have been doing this with my mentees when I was a mentor teacher. I kind of took a step back because I had so many mentees and they were still my mentees. They still are, even though they're veteran teachers now. I just needed a step back. I had too much on my plate and I could go on. I also had some personal reasons, like my mother passed away and I just needed to step back from some responsibilities. But that's something I could have been doing, like maybe for the first week we plan out their like the first day or whatever. I could have helped them plan out their day. We could have created some calendar invites together. I could have been on them and then just release that kind of control and let them build it after that, and then just continue to send me their calendar invites to hold them accountable until they are like, you know what, I'm good. And that would have been super impactful because I remember checking in with them and like, did you get this done? Did you get your training done? They're like, no, I lost track of time when I was doing this and that. And I'm like, I totally get that, but this is your big rock. We got to get this done. So having them create that schedule literally in their OLS, or not their OLS, but their Outlook, would have been so impactful for them to keep them on track, but also for me to keep them accountable. So like, I love that idea, and that's something I'm gonna at least push out now. And I'm glad that, because even if I'm not doing that, maybe someone's listening to this who is a new teacher, and they'll start doing that for themselves, even if their mentor teacher is not. So Thank you for sharing that, because that was something I didn't think about and was not told to really think about in that way. Like, they're like, you know, watch your time, watch this, but making a calendar invite would have been really powerful mm-hmm. for myself. And so I love that. So knowing that we're coming up at the end of our time together, is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you think that we should be talking about? I just don't know the questions to ask.
I would say my other passion really for our teachers is just relationships with each other. Because, you know, we've got schools across 40 some odd states. Some of them are very small. But, you know, I'm in Texas. You can drive for 12 hours and still be in Texas. So we are very spread out. We have teachers that are literally in a different time zone than I am, and students as well. But so it's, you know, building those relationships, building that community with the other teachers that are in your school. And I love that we've got this great Instagram community started, and I have got, you know, teachers, K-12 teachers on Instagram from Florida to Oregon and Oklahoma, and it's just really exciting to see that we're able to share with each other in that way. But just really being purposeful about finding that community, about talking with your team. We've been using Zoom this year to have lunch together. You know, we've got a Facebook group for just our staff. Some of us have Messenger groups that have been going. I'm in a Messenger group that's been going for 5 years now, from when we first started teaching on the same team together. And, you know, the girls that I teach with, even though we live hundreds of miles apart, they've really become some of my best friends. But it's taken purposeful action. It's taken, you know, to really build that community and spend that time talking together so that you can get to know each other. And you know, we've walked with each other through some really hard times, and we've walked through each other through some really fun times. We had a treehouse slumber party the other year when one of our girls turned 40 last year. We had a treehouse slumber party for her, and we came all together and spent the weekend.
That is so, so cool.
Yeah. So just know that if you're moving into a virtual environment, you're not alone. You've got great teachers around you, and just really thinking of creative ways to bring those teachers in and build those relationships so that you don't feel so alone.
Yeah, so what would be, so you've hit on some really awesome things. What would be the biggest step, like the biggest impactful step to take to foster those relationships in a virtual world? Because I am totally outgoing. I don't know a stranger. It's not hard for me to make friends. It's not hard for me to push myself onto people, and I feel zero guilt about it. Because I love people. But sometimes teachers who come here are so introverted. They want relationships, but they are really introverted. So how can they take those steps to foster a really strong relationship with their team? What are those creative ways you talked about, but a Facebook message? Anyway, just could you elaborate a little bit more on those things and how we could get those things started?
Yeah, so one of our girls just took the initiative to create a messenger chain through Facebook Messenger. So, I mean, that's a great tool because we communicate a lot in GIFs, and we have whole conversations where there's no words, there's just pictures. But so you've got really fun ways to communicate in that way. There's also like some video, like a video walkie-talkie kind of system where
you Marco can... Marco Polo, I think?
Yes, Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really fun one too. You can Marco Polo with your teaching team, and that one's neat because you can see, you know, you can see faces when you're talking back and forth. That one's really fun. And then of course, you know, Facebook groups, Instagram, And then just spending that time, like I'm trying to start up a teacher's lounge, you know, because the brick and mortar school has a teacher's lounge, so why can't we? So I've got my Zoom room open one day a week for a teacher's lounge, and I have a couple teachers that'll come in at lunchtime, and we can just sit and snack on our lunch and chat. So, you know, especially for administrators out there who are, you know, running our schools, create that for your teachers. Or maybe have your lead teachers create that for their teams, their grade level teams or their content teams, where we can just take 30 minutes out of our week and sit and face to face through Zoom, just chat and decompress, and it can be our version of a teacher's lounge.
I love that. That's something that I created a group literally called the Virtual Teacher Lounge, but it hasn't really taken off yet. Like I hope it will eventually, but I love that. I love the 30 minute Zoom idea. I love that. My issue is that we all take our lunches at different times. Not my team, mm-hmm. but like the school does. Like one team actually takes the lunch during lunchtime, whereas the rest of us take it like from 4 to 5. So that way we can be at home with our kids. But we do have like a day a week where we don't teach live. For most of us, that's mm-hmm. Wednesday. So that's something I could do on a Wednesday. So I really love that idea. So that would be a great step in that right direction, because even an introverted person could just hop in and maybe just listen to the until they feel comfortable. So, but I love that idea, and thank you so much for sharing it. Anything else before I let you go? Because you're an administrator, I am not, and so I sometimes feel like I don't know what kind of questions to ask because I'm just not in that world. So, but anything else that you think the teachers just should know that we might not know because we're not a part of that.
Well, I've only been here a few months, so.
Well, more than the rest of us.
Goodness, I think we've talked about a lot over this last hour. I've really, really enjoyed it. I can't think of anything else right now that I would add to what we've already discussed.
Perfect. I just wanted to, I always ask that question, like, is there something I should be asking that I'm not thinking about asking? So I just always throw it back out there again. But Erin, it was such a joy talking to you as well. You're a joy. You have so much insight, both academically and then just being in that kind of upper level and how to foster those relationships, both with your students and teachers. So I learned a lot from you, and so I hope that everyone else learns a lot from you as well, both people who are just teachers now being thrown into this virtual world because of this virus, but it's also my hope that new teachers years from now will be able to listen to your advice and gain a whole lot from you. So thank you so much for hopping on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. I was really excited to do this, and I really enjoyed getting to talk with you too.
Thank you. And we'll see you later. Okay. Have a great one. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
High five to you all for making it this far. Wherever you're listening to this, wherever the post is for this, where you were guided to this particular conversation, go give me a high five back. Whether it be on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, wherever. I need to know. Because I love and adore you. I learned so much from Erin, and I hope that you did too. Please keep the conversation going. What inspiration were you given? How would you use GoFormative? How would you use Flipgrid? What resources do you use to let your families know that you are in session and can't be disturbed? I need to know. Other teachers need to know. And that's what this is all about. It's about our community. It's about making those connections, educating each other, and most of all, collaborating with each other. So I know I want to be the best that I can possibly be, and I couldn't be that without you all. So that's why this was all started in the first place. So that way we can raise each other up, encourage each other, educate each other, and connect. So I can't wait to hear about all the things that you learned about from this conversation. Make sure you subscribe both to the podcast and also to the YouTube channel, because I realized during this conversation that we need more visuals. I need to make some videos on like how to make a calendar invite and share that with your mentor team, and how to color code it, and how to set up the reminders and all that fun stuff. So that's going to be the next video I make. So by subscribing, you'll get notified when those disappear. So thank you so much for doing that. Again, high five to you all. So appreciative of this community and can't wait to see what we learn from each other. We'll see you next time. Remember, be brave, take a risk, and most of all, have fun. See you next time. Bye.